moving into hour number three. I hope you found hour number two helpful. It will be posted later tonight. We urge you to listen to it a second time or share it with anyone. That's why all our programs are up there for you that we do about this nightmare. Another group of programs that are always posted are Mitchell Henderson's, and Mitch is standing by right now to, I guess, give us another look at the ever-changing, horrendous automobile wreck, train crash, plane crash that is Ukraine. And I don't know if you got to hear. Hi, Russell. How are you? Welcome back. I should say that first. Hello. Are you there?
Hello. I'm here. You said Russell. I'm sorry.
I'm sorry. What I meant to say was, did you get a chance to hear Russell?
No, I have not. It's been raining up here. It's all muddy. I haven't had a chance to listen to anything. I don't have internet up here, so.
Oh, no, I stopped talking when I said Russell because I didn't hear anything back. But Russell Bentley was on Friday, and that's up on the homepage too, but you don't have internet. So the point is he really unloaded on the Russian general staff and the conduct of their operations in Ukraine. And he sent an article, or he sent a story to me, and it had quotes from the Donbass, I guess the DPR, and the LPR, their leading military officers. I guess they were whatever they are, commanders, generals, I don't know. And they were not at all complimentary about Russia and the way Russia has been handling this whole operation. And it opened the door to the concept that might be worth considering that Putin may be not surrounded with, but certainly penetrated by people who don't have his best interests or wishes at the top of their agenda. You follow me? I don't know.
Yes. If you remember, I don't know if it was last week or the week before, I had said that Putin was not happy with the general staff, and that the soldiers on the front line were not happy with the general staff.
Yes, I remember. I do remember that. Yeah.
So they didn't go into great detail like Russell probably did, but you know they did say that to me. So that sort of validates what Russell's saying, I think.
Agreed.
You know,
yeah.
So there's a second source. You know.
You want me to? I can send you the file address, but you can't get online where you are right now, I guess, huh?
No, I will be able to listen to it because sometime this week I'll go into town and then I can listen to it over there. So,
all right. Yeah.
So, let me. I wanted to dwell a little bit more on where wokeism came from. So last week I just grabbed the development of wokeism, starting with Moses Hess in 1832. How he was the father of both communism and modern Zionism. Mm-hmm. Now I want to give a little more background. Ideas develop over time. Each idea is predicated on previous ideas. You might say that one idea causes the next. Wokeism is the faith of the Antichrist and Satan. So let's start with humanism. Humanism was first articulated by Francesco Petrarch in the 14th century. Humanism is the attitude of mind attaching prime importance to human beings and human values. Humans are the central important thing in the world. It is the beginning of anthropocentrism. Man's personal quests for truth and goodness derived from God and Christ are shunned in favor of human values. There is no God. Man is the measure of the universe. This is hubris. Man is the God of humanism. I mean, it says it right in the word, humanism, okay? It's worshiping humans.
Okay? Humanism.
So the next thing is materialism. Materialism is attributed to Thomas Hobbes in the 16th century. He wrote a book called Leviathan, which was a beast from the sea, as readers of Revelation will recognize that the Antichrist comes from the beast in the sea. Which justified obedience to moral rules on purely secular basis as a means to a peaceful, social, and comfortable living. The objective of the state is peace and security. The sovereign is absolute. He must be obeyed. Hobbes is very famous for that. saying that people should obey the state. So materialism holds that all facts about human mind and will and the course of human history are caused by physical processes alone. What are called mental events are really certain complicated physical events. Mental processes are entirely caused by physical processes. That mental and physical processes are two aspects of what goes on in a person. Body and mind are two aspects of the same process. The course of history is determined by the intervention of masses of people and masses of material things in such a way as to be predictable without reference to the higher processes of thought and will. It may have an influence on the individual, but not on all humanity. There is no God, no soul, no free will, and no intuition. Science, therefore, applies to all aspects of life. It is clear that the God of materialism is man as revealed in science. This is why woke people always say, I believe the science. Also, if you notice in this humanism and materialism that it leads up to the next thing, which is dialectical materialism or Marxism. In the 19th century, Marx thought that nothing was permanent, that everything changes and is eventually superseded. All things contain contradictory sides or aspects whose tension or conflict is the driving force of change and eventually transforms or dissolves them. The material world, perceptible by the senses, has objective reality independent of mind and spirit. Ideas can arise only as products and as reflections of material conditions. Everything is a continual process of becoming and ceasing to be. In Marxism, science is God. The defining characteristic of humanity is man's ability to exert labor on objects of nature in order to satisfy one's needs. One labors not just for the individual, but for the species also, because it's a collectivist thinking. And then finally, positivism, because that has a big effect on why we are the way we are today. Positivism is a philosophy engineered by Auguste Comte in the 19th century. Comte is the father of socialism, of sociology, okay? The study of sociology, he's the father of it, okay? It emphasizes the achievement of science. Human thought has passed inevitably through the theological stage into the metaphysical stage and is passing into the positive or scientific stage. It is man that should be worshipped. These are not just foundations of wokeism, but you may realize that these attitudes are held by many, and you can even go to your church and see that the mainline religions have bought into these philosophies also. You can see this thinking in what is going on right now. Okay? So I'm going to talk here about the struggle against the World Economic Forum. And this I had to do some research on because I heard something, and I'm basically against the Fed. I think it was a bad idea. But
are you talking about the world, Mitch? Excuse me. Are you talking about the Fed or the World Economic Forum?
The Fed, because the Fed is fighting the World Economic Forum, and you see, the woke people understand that we don't like the Fed, so they are just piling on the Fed chairman, condemning mm-hmm. him and stuff, because they think that we hate them too.
Right.
Okay.
Mm-hmm.
So we can see that the sanctions war is destroying Europe as planned. It would be happening apace here, except there's always a fly in the ointment. A friend of mine in Tennessee named Mason Ray James is a political organizer and activist. She is very intelligent and researches prolifically. I talked to her last week, and she called to my attention that we have one man pulling for us. And she hates the Fed, too, I might add. Federal Reserve Chairman Jerome Powell. He is a Republican, and the woke Democrats hate him. Wharton School professor Jeremy Spiegel is critical of Powell because he is moving too aggressively to fight inflation and will hurt American workers in the process. He said, honestly, I think Chairman Powell should offer the American people an apology for such poor monetary policy that he has pursued. Today,
May I ask a question? What is going on here? The woke left is communist, whether it admits it or not. It doesn't matter.
Right.
The Fed is a communist fascist organization.
Yes. Yes.
So what's the big? What? How stupid is the woke left? Question answered.
Yeah. I mean, they're attacking their own
yes.
system, basically.
Yeah.
Okay. Even the United Nations complained about the Fed today, condemning its policies, its monetary policies. Okay. So if everybody's against it, he must be doing something right, okay? Mm-hmm. Paul Krugman wrote in the New York Times last week that the Fed is raising interest way too far and too fast. These are the same people who do not think we are in a recession. Truth is malleable to them. First, they changed the definition of what inflation is by attempting to minimize it for political reasons. As if we would not notice and believe their delusional nonsense. Inflation is measured by an index that follows the prices of certain commodities that we commonly buy. If we measured today's inflation by the 1970 basket of goods, inflation would be 18%. That makes Marxist Democrats look bad. There are elections coming. So they redefined the basket of goods to cut inflation in half. So you can see that the atheist Marxists actually do engage in magical thinking. Next, they redefined a recession because an election is coming. They do not want you to think we are in one. A recession was defined as two consecutive quarters with a negative GDP growth rate. The first and second quarters of 2022 had negative growth rate. Under Trump, we had one quarter of negative GDP growth, and the Marxist Democrats were screeching that we were in a recession. So for a Republican president, you only need one quarter of negative growth to be in a recession. Officially and traditionally, you need two. However, Marxist Democrats do not hold themselves to that standard. They insist that we are not in a recession, but we are. By their own definition, we're in a recession. Okay, add to that the totally bogus unemployment rate that simply does not reflect reality. Peter Joe will tell you that it is at 3.9%. But in fact, 38% of all working age adults are unemployed. That is the unnatural number, not a carefully crafted one that is made up. But Nancy Pelosi announced last week that there is a food shortage because Governor DeSantis is shipping illegal aliens north, so there is nobody to pick the crops.
I know. It's unbelievable.
It's laughable what she says.
Yeah, it's
okay. I lived in Florida for years. I needed a job when I first got there. I tried to work picking oranges. I also speak fluent Spanish, so there was no reason I cannot work with Spanish-speaking workers. Mm-hmm. They would not hire me or the dozen other white people that tried to get a job. We were desperate and willing to work under their illegal and inhumane working conditions. A foreman told me that they would never hire Americans to do the job because we would find out just how inhumane they treat their workers. The smug and condescending attitude of Pelosi towards migrant workers is typical of a California elitist. The very people that Hispanic hero Cesar Chavez struggled against in his United Farm Worker Union. Pelosi is callous and inhumane like her Marxist Democrat cronies. So let's look at what Jerome Powell is doing and why. First, inflation is caused by printing money. Starting in 2020, the government started printing money to get through the phony pandemic. Since then, the pedophile Marxist Biden regime has printed money to pay for the Green New Deal and the war in Ukraine. Two, inflation is defined as too much money chasing too few goods. The Antichrist Biden regime did all they could to short us on food and energy and did all they could to disrupt the supply chain, plus inflation drives prices up. Three, inflation is called the coolest tax because it steals your money from you by devaluing it. It is a horrible tax on the poor that cannot afford it. See, the Marxist Democrats do not really care about people. They want you to vote for them while they are destroying your life. The Federal Reserve Bank is an autonomous government entity. It is supposed to be non-political. It can control inflation by raising interest rates. How does this work? By controlling how much spending you do. There needs to be less money chasing goods. So with high interest rates, people will not want to borrow money to spend. Consequently, there is less money chasing goods. It is just that simple. Okay, but the big economics wheels like Jeffrey Sachs and these people, they don't want you to know that. Okay, so why is Powell raising the interest rates so fast? Because the other mechanism for controlling the economy is fiscal policy, or Congress spending money. The Fed does monetary policy. The Fed is autonomous, so they can act to make corrections or apply the brakes for out-of-control inflation. And what does the Satanist Marxist Democratic Party do? They spend $500 billion on Green New Deal spending and diversity, equity, and inclusion projects. This was called the Inflation Reduction Act. Even though it actually does nothing to stop inflation, it actually prints more money and creates more inflation. So, yes, Jerome Powell has to act aggressively to control inflation because the Satanist Marxist Democrats in Congress are working hard to deepen inflation. Remember, they need to deepen your economic misery and bankrupt you so the World Economic Forum Great Reset can happen. Powell is an obstacle. Okay. Now, this is a mistake. Okay. It's because he's not on with the World Economic Forum. That's all. He doesn't want the Great Reset. He cares about people. Okay. So notice that the Satanist Marxist Democrats call making inflation worse the Inflation Reduction Act. Just as the pedophile Antichrist, Biden has done all he could to make sure that we starve to death, and last week announced a program to fight starvation in America. The Satanist Marxist Democrats always create problems, then to cover their sin, announce programs to do the opposite that they have, but they have no intention of being effective in any way in their special programs. Okay? So, let's go on to the next big problem. The Green New Deal president destroys the Earth's environment. Last week, the Nord Stream pipeline was sabotaged. It released 753 million cubic meters of methane, the most powerful greenhouse gas. That is enough to cover all the land surface of the United States with 12 feet of methane. Wow. If global warming was real, was a real climate emergency, why would our Green New Deal dictator cause a great acceleration of that process? That is decades of carbon emissions. It could have heated Europe this winter. Peter Joe has been bullying and sanctioning European nations for years, trying to halt construction of the pipeline. He made it a goal to bring an end to the Nord Stream pipeline. It was actually an old thing. In 1982, the CIA under Reagan sabotaged Soviet pipelines to keep Europe from buying their energy. So nothing new here, okay? So how do we know that the CIA did it? Well, on February 7th, 2021, Peter Joe Biden said that, and I quote, "If Russia invades Ukraine, there will be no longer a Nord Stream pipeline. We will bring an end to it. We have the ability to destroy it." Our dictator said he was going to do it. And actually, I should mention that 2 days prior to that, Victoria Nuland said the same thing. She's the person who engineered the overthrowing of the duly elected president of Ukraine in 2014, which started this whole problem.
Yeah, okay. Vicky done it. Yep. She sure did.
Yep, she did. In June 2022, a NATO mine hunting exercise was held in the affected area. There were submarines and other submersibles and underwater drones. It was an opportunity to test underwater equipment. 2 weeks before the attack on the pipeline, the CIA informed German intelligence that it was going to happen. The Prime Minister of Poland, he was the ex-foreign minister of Poland, named Sikorsky. He actually thanked America for blowing it up. Okay, the U.S., NATO, and Russia all agreed that a major technologically advanced state actor had to do it. It was too advanced of an operation for a non-state terrorist to accomplish. Sort of like the Twin Towers and the way they came down. A perfect implosion. That takes a lot of skill. That is
perfect
not something
footprints.
That you can just do by crashing an airplane into something.
That's right.
So what is the effect of destroying the Nord Stream pipeline? Europe's economic impetus forever seeking peace with Russia is gone. Okay. Former President Trump even said that the U.S. blew up the pipeline and that would lead to World War III. Okay, so in criminal investigations, that is known as motive and opportunity. You have an ex-U.S. president as a witness against the pedophile Marxist Biden regime. You have the criminal denying it in face of obvious evidence to the contrary. As a matter of fact, U.S. Foreign Minister Tony Blinken said on last Saturday, the sabotage of the Nord Stream pipeline is a tremendous opportunity to wean the continent off Russian energy. With the winter approaching, Europe needs to reduce its fuel leaks, its fuel use.
Nice of Tony to say that.
In criminal investigations, that is called rationalization, minimization, and affirmation of the motive by admitting that we profited from the crime. All criminals do it. It is all very predictable. Our government thinks we are all so stupid that we would buy this nonsense. The Green New Deal is a global con game to get you to pay for the air you breathe through a carbon tax. There is nothing free left. The global elites even want you to pay for the air you breathe. It is the last free thing, the air you breathe. The global elites and the U.S. government running dogs are so greedy that they want to claim ownership of the air, the water, the food, and energy. They want us all as obedient slaves. They want us to own nothing and be happy. I can assure you that you will not be happy with this inhumane, cold, and callous woke jerks in charge. The pedophile Marxist Biden regime just committed a crime against humanity, a crime that we will all pay for, not him, but we will. Okay? So the next thing that I want to talk about is the mixed misdirection.
You want to take a break, Mitch, or do you want to go right ahead?
Let me do that.
All right. Okay, very good. First segment with Mitchell Henderson, and you can listen to all Mitch's programs in his columnist section on the left-hand side of the homepage. We'll be right back. Hold on. Okay, welcome back. I got to play this. It's 15 seconds. It's Biden. You know, wherever the guy goes, whoever he speaks to, whatever ethnic minority it is, he always tries to relate to them. Like, I know you, I feel your pain because of my background, my youth, my whatever. Now he's claiming to have been raised in a Puerto Rican community. I'm not kidding. Listen to this.
And so I was sort of raised in the Puerto Rican community at home politically. And so we came here for a long time, both for business and pleasure, since you're part of the Third Circuit Court. And so
Okay. I mean, how the American people have accepted this. I won't even begin to look for descriptors. They've accepted this subhuman as president. I can't believe it, but it happens every day. People accept it. It's okay. He's our president. Go ahead.
So I want to talk about misdirection concerning nuclear war, because this is pervasive in the media right now.
Thank you.
Me start out with last Friday, Senator Lindsey Graham of South Carolina warned any Russian use of nuclear weapons in Ukraine would be equivalent of an attack on NATO itself. It would be met with a catastrophic response. Foreign aid will be blocked to any nation recognizing the results of the Donbass elections. The media and Western leaders keep saying the same. Only Russia has not said this. They have been clear that they do not have to use nuclear weapons in Ukraine. They are trying to lull us into thinking that Russia is not planning on attacking the USA. And the motive is, once again, there's elections coming up. If the American people were fully aware that they were about to be vaporized in a nuclear attack, they would not be very happy with our leadership right now. So actually, all of Russia's nuclear war statements last week were clear about using nuclear war against the USA and NATO, if need be. They never said Ukraine. They said they were talking about us. So Lindsey Graham just did us all the favor of leaving Russia only one option, nuclear war against the United States. Now if Russia has to use nukes in Ukraine, they might as well launch their strategic nuclear weapons on the United States. Americans have been entertaining themselves to death while they allow the government to murder 3,000 Americans on 9/11. Why did Tower 7 implode just like Towers 1 and 2, even though not struck with an airplane? They murdered 5 million Americans by unleashing a laboratory-designed pandemic in order to abolish the Constitution and Bill of Rights, create an authoritarian public health state, and rig an election, and are now set on killing us all and everybody we love. Trying to redirect attention from strategic nuclear war that Russia actually threatens. Okay. Please consider Russia's attitude about nuclear war. Okay.
Question.
Let me go into a little detail on this. Yes, go ahead.
In all of these months, nine months, whatever.
Yes.
The front line outside the city of Donetsk hasn't changed in 9 months. The Russians have not pushed back the Ukes at all. The front line is literally, you've got a front line facing off both sides, and then you have the city of Donetsk. It's right there. And when Russell Bentley was on last week, he pointed that out. And this is it's unforgivable. The question I have, could Putin do it with thermobarics?
Well,
he needs some big punch.
I did address why they hadn't moved outside of Donetsk, and that's because for 8 years the Ukrainians have been digging in there, and I explained the value of digging in. Okay, they've dug in for 8 years. They have reinforced bunkers. They have even comfortable bunkers. Okay,
understood.
So that's very difficult to dislodge. Which I gave two examples of an infantry battalion that was not dug in versus an infantry battalion that was dug in Korea, and how the one that wasn't dug in got wiped out, and the one that was dug in barely lost any people at all, barely had casualties. They killed many, many Chinese, but they didn't have casualties themselves. So this is what Russia is facing there, is they're facing a very well-dug-in enemy. The real question would be, why didn't they just circle around behind them and envelop them? That would be a very valid question, because that's how you get rid of strong points: is you envelop them. You don't have to attack them front on. Okay.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
So let me cover Russia's attitude about nuclear war. Since 1991, Moscow's only element of global power status is, in fact, its nuclear arsenal. Its economy is not great, and neither is its political weight in the world. Russia's nuclear weapons are perceived by the West as a relic of the past rather than a relevant factor in international relations today. That is why you never hear them talking about it. Okay. Russia sees the nuclear arsenal as the basis of its sovereignty and has assumed that as long as they are a great power in nuclear terms, they could still claim to be important in terms of foreign policy, even as an economic dwarf. This difference in perception is the fundamental reason for the Ukrainian crisis and why they can't find any common ground. Moscow now wants to push Washington and Brussels out of Ukraine. This is a vital and existential issue for Russia. Russia made clear that they will deal with existential threats with nuclear war. Is anybody listening? What Russia is trying to tell us, and this is from an editorial by Sergei Polisev, one, the harder you push us, the more you drag us into this conventional conflict in Ukraine, the closer nuclear war becomes. The more you pin us down, the less choice you leave us. Two, there can be no winners in a nuclear war, so your victory in Ukraine is impossible. Thus, you have two options. Either continue to help Kiev or withdraw your direct backing, and Ukraine will lose either way. You can lose with it, or you can limit your involvement and survive. Three, Russia can handle the Ukrainian armed forces, but we are uncertain if we can handle the Western supply systems that have been deployed. This statement was meant for Western audiences because we believe in so many bullshit lies like mutually assured destruction, nuclear war is unwinnable, and nuclear winter. In the West, we are too sophisticated and intelligent to think that anyone would ever do nuclear war, although we did. Our woke dictatorship will not even worry about nuclear war. It doesn't care about us. They just care about the stupid things they have deluded themselves into believing. In fact, Russia has always thought that they could win a nuclear war. I remember reading a Defense Intelligence Agency report, it's unclassified, that told the story of a Russian general who was terrified of the prospect of nuclear war. The Soviets had a live-fire maneuvers with troops that he had to participate in. Afterward, he was relieved. He said that nuclear war was not only doable, but winnable. You have to remember that during the Cold War, there was a lot of hyperbole about nuclear war and how we would freeze to death because of nuclear winter, because it was the main focus of those environmentalists who later said we were at peak oil and the world would soon run out of petroleum supplies and we would freeze to death. Now we are in danger of heating ourselves to death because of carbon dioxide, which, if hunger is a problem, we need more of, not less. We breathe oxygen and exhale carbon dioxide. Plants or food crops inhale carbon dioxide and wick up water to make starches and sugars that we need to live. Plants exhale oxygen, which we breathe. Cutting down on carbon dioxide means less food, which means we starve to death. Ask any marijuana grower. You can greatly improve the yield by pumping in excess of carbon dioxide while it is growing. So at the moment, Putin is getting Russians psychologically prepared for the coming nuclear war. He notice that we over here are not. We are misdirecting and say, oh, they'll use them in Ukraine, as if they weren't even talking about us. Okay, he is establishing the pretext for nuclear war. All of the talk out of the Kremlin is getting Russians prepared to understanding the necessity of nuclear war. The withdrawals in Ukraine that the West gloats over are a tell to the Russian people that nuclear war is the only option. What helped is the pedophile Marxist Biden regime appropriating $12 billion more dollars for military aid to Ukraine right after Russia gave its nuclear war warnings. How can we be so tone-deaf and obstinate? How will Russia employ nuclear weapons? Okay. First, they will take the initiative, meaning that they will launch first. Remember, when they launch, their missiles will hit us in less than 15 minutes, not the 30 minutes it takes our missiles to arrive at their targets. They have time for a follow-up attack before our missiles even strike them, okay? And those are airborne missiles, okay? Actually, a Russian submarine, which we've lost track of one in the White Sea, okay, it has the Poseidon missiles on it, which are 100 megaton nuclear weapons that cause tsunamis. A Russian sub could fire one off the coast of Portugal. We would have no idea it was coming until it detonated and put a 1,600-foot tsunami.
You know what the range on those is? 6,000 miles at 3,000 feet depth at over 100 miles an hour. Untouchable.
Oh, yeah.
So
yeah.
The
we won't even know it's coming. Okay.
Right.
Second, they will use surprise. We just talked about surprise. There will be no warning at all. Keep in mind that your government has not planned at all for this attack. You will truly be on your own. Your first warning of nuclear war is when you see the mushroom clouds. If you don't see the mushroom clouds, either you're too far away or you're evaporated by them. Okay. They will mass their attacks. They will strike at the decisive place and time. These factors include a launch in daylight because the thermal effects of nuclear explosion are amplified in daylight. It will better start fires in daytime. Not only that, but if they launch when it's daytime here, it'll be nighttime over there. So we won't be striking them with an optimum get the best effects from the nuclear weapons. If they have surface bursts that cause fallout, they want that fallout to cover our industrial heartland in the Northeast. Mm-hmm. Mass also means massive violence. It will not be a demonstration attack, as that would be suicidal for Russia. They have one shot to destroy completely the United States, Canada, United Kingdom, Australia, New Zealand, Japan, the Netherlands, Belgium, and Greece. Whether they strike others will depend on the situation. Will Turkey want to be a target, or will they send their army into Incirlik Air Force Base and seize the 55 B-61 gravity nuclear bombs that we have there?
Is 65 still there? We didn't pull them out?
No, we didn't pull them out. They've now admitted that. They said for a long time that we had moved them, but we didn't move them. They're still there.
Oh, man. Well, Erdogan will take them in an hour.
Oh, yeah. Right, yeah, I mean, Turkey has the biggest army in NATO outside the United States. And
I see third biggest in the world, isn't it? Something like
right.
that?
Right, yeah, it's pretty big. Will Italy, with its new unwoke right-wing president, prohibit U.S. forces in
she's
Italy
a globalist.
From loading the B-61?
She's tied into she's a globalist. She's tied into them. Yes.
Okay. Well, the Russians will know that because they have B-61 gravity nukes there too. What about France? They make up their own mind when it comes to defense matters. So those things are in question, but those are issues for the German Ministry of Defense. I mean, the Russian Ministry of Defense.
Oh, those were the days. Little Freudian, Freudian slip there.
Yeah.
We had it. You know,
all
we
the
had,
nations on Earth have to decide quickly if they want to be on Russia's unfriendly nations list or not. Okay,
right.
So the big thing that I see in the news is the misdirection about this nuclear war. I mean, our press and our leaders are trying to just talk past it by saying, "Oh, if Russia news uses nuke in Ukraine, well, Russia's." Could care less about that. They're worried about their country. It's the United States and NATO that's the issue. Ukraine is not the big issue, okay? But at the same time, you have to realize that in this power grab of the United States, we are actually destroying the European Union. We are actually destroying NATO. These countries are each other's
friends. We are their biggest enemy, and they can't see it.
They can't see it. They can't see it. We are going to be there. Their children will be freezing to death this winter because of what we did in the Baltic Sea. They will freeze to death. Will they know who the guilty party is, or will they be hopped up in jingoism to accuse Russia when Russia has no reason, good reason, to blow up the pipeline? It was a windfall for the United States. I mean, it's the United States did it. You'd have to be naive to think anything else. I mean, we said we were going to do it.
You're totally right.
Told Germany we were going to do it, and we did it. What can you say, you know?
What P-8 Orion was... over the scene during the day, so were a number of American drones. That's I think that same morning. Anyway, yeah, it's obvious.
Yeah.
A monkey could see it.
Well, what I think happened is in June they placed the explosives, and then all they had to do is detonate it. And the P-3 Orion probably was the trigger.
Did I say
it.
P-8? P-3, sorry.
Yeah, P-3 Orion. So that was the thing for it. So one thing I've really noticed, and like especially in USA Today or New York Times, is they are really pouring on the propaganda now. They're really misdirecting. They're really changing the narrative as much as they can, because what they're doing is they're trying to get they're trying to win this election, this midterm election. Well,
right.
Let me not say that, because that I think is incorrect. They're not trying to win the election. They will win the election. They're trying to create the excuses of why they won the election, like the Roe versus Wade, blah, blah, blah. All these things that they say is causing people to turn on the Republicans. You know, it's like, no, I don't think so. I think what's happening is they're just trying to find excuses of why they won the election. Okay, because they already know they're going to win. They just want the excuses of why they won, to come out. So to cover their sin, you know.
Got it. Yep.
So,
All right, here's the deal.
Here's any warning at all.
No, there'll be no warning. No.
Yeah.
Here's the question, though. Will they light off a few, two or three, 30, 50,000 feet, I don't know what they are, EMP burst weapons to turn this country back into the early 1800s. No cars, no phones, no lights, no power, no nothing. Can you imagine the crime, ladies and gentlemen, that will instantly be the dominant social factor in what used to be the United States of America? Crime will dominate like you cannot even imagine. Crime, criminality, murder, rape, theft, you name it. This country will have no cohesion whatsoever. No cell phones, no nothing, no 9/11 calls. So that would be just, say, three EMP bursts. So you turn the country into a criminal bastion of subhuman behavior. China waits 90 days and then just walks in, and by then maybe half the people will be dead. They're already dying from the shot anyway. But
yeah, right. So what it is in the principles of air power, the first aircraft that you send in are jamming aircrafts. The first thing you want to do when you attack is wipe out the enemy's communications. So the first nuke that will go off will probably be an EMP weapon, and all they need is two. If they put one in east of the Mississippi, one or the west of the Mississippi, 100 miles up in the air, that'll do the trick. 100 megaton bombs, boom. And there's your EMP. It'll melt everything, you know, the circuits and stuff. Yeah. So that's just something that they automatically do. You don't even have they don't even have to plan for it. It's like you're sending your nukes, send your EMP weapons first, okay?
Right.
And
yeah,
then let them come down. And the reason why
that,
is
you think
if
that
you
will
send
be
the
a
EMP
viable
weapon, you can,
You think that's viable for them? You think that may be on the table? EMP first, followed by.
Yeah, it's just what every nation does. Every developed modern nation always does that. Always knock out communications before you attack. Because the communications is also radar systems. Because EMP will destroy the radar systems. So you don't want them tracking your incoming missiles and your incoming bombers or whatever, you know. So you blast the EMP off. And the EMP has to kind of go off. Just keep in mind that once this goes off, it's just a few minutes, and it does its damage. So the missiles will fly first, and then if they're going to send bombers, they'll come in afterwards, okay? After it's clear, because we won't have anything to track them with at that point. It makes perfect sense. I mean, it's just what you would want to do, you know.
Well, it does make sense. And someone just wrote and asked about that, and I've been talking about that for years. EMP would reduce, there would be no more organized social structure here. That would be the end of it. You'd have however many people left, and remember, probably 230 million of them are dying right now. I think 10 to 20 have already died. But let's just say that they haven't, and you got 200, whatever. So no lights, no power, no nothing. What are these people going to do? They're going to shoot each other, build campfires. Maybe cannibalism will become, as it has been whispered to, a pastime.
Yes.
There'll be lots of people with looking for emergency food storage in people's homes. They'll kill everybody in the family and take their food. There'll be nothing to stop it. You know all this. No police. Police are going to be home with their families.
Yeah. He'll be every man for himself, basically, is what it'll be. Now, I want everybody to keep in mind that each of these nukes that comes down and hits us, from ground zero, from the most of them will be airburst, but an airbursting nuke takes out about a radius of 20 miles, or at most a diameter of 20 miles. Okay, so if you wrap your mind around that, and they're just going to a few thousand at us, each of those few thousand will just destroy a radius of 20 miles. That will not destroy every inch of the United States. Okay, there'll be people in America that won't even see a mushroom cloud. Okay, so don't let them scare you. Okay, take precautions, but don't be overwhelmed with fear. Okay,
that's good.
You can survive.
It's possible. It is.
Yep.
All right. Very good. We'll see what happens. Things are very fluid right now. The Bolograd.
They're accelerating. you know. And see what Putin wanted to do is he wanted to get the Donbass and all those two other provinces as Russian territory so he could say, okay, they've attacked Russian territory. Boom.
Well, he made it quite clear. The submarine, the Belogorod, is the one that is carrying six of these Poseidon missiles. They can dial the warhead up from 2 to 100 megatons. That's what the stories say, 100 megatons. And they're clad in cobalt-59. And when the nuke goes off, the cobalt-59 turns into cobalt-60. So it'll be a deadly, terrible form of radiation, radioactivity.
Oh yes.
It'll come in on these
cobalt
tsunamis. It'll kill everyone. It'll cover every inch, every crack, every crook, nook and cranny. It's going to be really grim. Grim.
Oh, yeah. It will
grim,
be.
Grim, grim, grim.
So.
Well, we'll see. Yep. Mitchell, I'll talk to you next week. Thank you.
Okay.
And do try and listen to Russell when you get in to town.
I think you'll be interested
in that.
I'm looking forward to it.
Okay. All right, my friend. Thank you very much.
Okay. Thank you. Bye-bye.
All right. Good night. Mitchell Henderson, really a remarkable mind. Back in 21 hours, dear friends. And, yeah, there's still a little time to go put a little food away and buy some candles. You don't want to light your house up with a generator. Big advertisement. Okay, see you tomorrow. Have a good day. Try and think good thoughts and be careful. Talk tomorrow. Want to hear it.